Jireh, our provider. We thank you for providing for us, Lord God, taking care of us. And Lord, we honor you today, and we bring our as we bring our tithes to you, Lord God, that we declare that we trust in you, Lord God, not the world, not our jobs, but we put our trust in you to take care of us, Lord God, through all those things. And we thank you for our jobs. We thank you for whatever incomes we have, Lord God. We thank you for watching over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Well, just wanted to wish everyone a happy new year, and hopefully 2021 will be amazingly better than 2020. And I know everybody wants to get back to some type of normalcy, and sooner or later that will happen. And we try to live as normal as we can in the midst of what's going on. That's what we're doing. And I encourage you to, we are here every Sunday at 9:30 for prayer. We are we start service at 10 o'clock, and our we try to coordinate it so that we start online at 10:40, right in that range there. Amen, Father. If you missed last week, I read a really nice letter about a young man who came out to a service here in 1999, and it changed his life forever. I'm not going to get into the whole story, but if you go to last week's message online, you'll be able to find it on there. And it was a pretty amazing story. All right, so I think that's about it. We are going to get into the Word today. I'm going to release the youth up there. I see they're all chomping at the bits up there. And I see our teachers are up there. And I want to thank our teachers for being so faithful. And we're going to pray for them. And while we're praying for them, I want to also lift up, we have some people in the body that are sick, and two that come to my mind right away. I know Carmen has been suffering migraines for, I think this is about the fifth day in a row now. She can't get past it. And I know Rain has been having a tough time. And is there anybody else right offhand that's really struggling? Yeah, Betty. Carol Lako's also with her knee issues. It's like a, pardon? I said Raina, yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, so there's those three we'll lift up, and I'll just include everybody else. But, Father, we can just come to you right now, Lord God. We're praying for your children, Lord God. And these are your kids, God. And we ask that you would work in their lives and heal them, Lord God, for Raina, for Carmen, for Carol Lakos, and I know there's plenty of others, Lord God, those of us who are struggling through some type of just maybe a simple sickness or something more severe, Lord God. Whatever it might be, Lord God, we pray that you would bless your children with healing, Lord God, that you would pour out just an anointing of healing upon this body. Lord God, let it just be poured out in Jesus' name. And Lord, we also want to lift up right now our youth here, Lord, as they go into their class. We ask that you would just bless them and do a great thing in their class today, Lord God. Let them have a really good time and just be blessed by you through their teachers, Lord God. And anoint our teachers today. And we thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen, Father. All right, we are ready for the Word today. Pastor Don's going to be bringing the Word to us today, and I know it's something that God has already shown him. He was ready as soon as, actually, Eddie was going to speak today, but I don't know if you knew it, but Eddie got quarantined. He was in contact with somebody, so I mentioned it at the beginning of the service, so he had to bow out today, and Pastor Don just jumped right into the fire here. He said he already had something on his heart, so here it is. We're going to hear it today. All right, so let's pray.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, we want to thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the man who stands in the gap, Lord God, and we thank you for the word that you've put on his heart. We ask that you would anoint this word and just anoint Pastor Don as he brings it forth, and also anoint our hearts to hear what you want to say to us through this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.
Amen. Amen. Good to see everyone this morning. Amen. I don't know about standing in a gap, Pastor, but more or less pushed into the gap. I got a call from Eddie on Friday, and he was supposed to minister today, and he had been around his family, and they come to find out that his son and the family had come down with the COVID. He works with the police department, and caught it from his partner, so they were all together during the holidays, and so they're all in quarantine. Same with Ray and Sandra Silva. I myself just got out of quarantine. Boy, was that fun for my wife. Had the best Christmas she ever had. I was confined to the basement, you know. A couple of weeks ago, I think many of you know, I usually on a Wednesday I get together with some other pastors, and most of you know Pastor Milton Resch, and I was over at his house, and there was a gentleman, he's been with us before, having coffee. We usually get together and have coffee and talk a little bit, and he was there, and we were together for about an hour, and Christmas Eve morning, I wake up and I look at my phone, and there's a message, from Milton of Texas, says, please give me a call. Well, I'm figuring he wants me to call him. He wants to wish me a happy, a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all that kind of stuff. So I call him early in the morning. He says, I got bad news. And I'm thinking, oh, did somebody die? And he says, so-and-so was tested positive for the COVID-19. And I'm like, oh, no. Because I had family coming over. We were supposed to go to my wife's brother's house, have, a nice Christmas Eve dinner. You know, all the plans are laid out, nice and in order. And then, boop, they pulled the rug out from underneath me, and my wife banished me to the basement. And that's where I was been for the last few weeks. Never came down with any type of symptom. I was never sick. I actually went and got tested. That might have been the closest I was to getting sick, because I went over to the little wellness shop there, and, you got to make the appointment. My wife made me an appointment for 5:15. 7:15, I walked in that door because I was sitting out in the parking lot, and they finally called me. We're ready for you. My blood pressure had gone through the roof. I was ready just to have a conniption and start knocking stuff over, And so I go and I sit in the little room, and I'm waiting for them to come in with that long stick with the cotton swab on there to shove it up my nose. And, the first thing they do is they come and take my blood pressure. I'm like, hey, I'm not here for a physical. Take my blood pressure. It was a little bit high. She says, oh, your blood pressure's high. And I'm thinking, I wonder why. I've only been sitting out there for 2 hours. I'd actually started just backing up my vehicle to leave. And I said, I can't take this no more. I'm going home. The heck with this test. And that's when they called. I had to pull back in and went back in there, and everything worked out good. By the way, I was kidding Betty. I know Betty had to go in for the test. And as I said, they take those cotton swab sticks and they shove it way up your nose into the sinus cavity. How many have had that done so far? Anybody had? Okay. So you know what I'm talking about, right? Hurts, doesn't it? Well, I didn't have that one because I'm kind of a baby, So I went in there, and I'm fully expecting them to take that thing. She pulled that thing out. It's about that long, and I'm like, oh, no. It's going to reach to the back of my head, And she goes, well, all I'm going to do is just kind of, put it in your nostril, and, this isn't the painful one. And I'm like, oh, okay, thank God, So anyways, they did it. 10 minutes later, had the results. Everything worked out good. But anyways, I still had to confine myself down to the basement. And, it was kind of a blessing in disguise. I never had my daughter pray for me so much. Lizzie sitting over there. I had my phone text, Lizzie, bring me down a cup of coffee. She'd come down, she had the whole, quarantine suit on, the mask, the gloves, and she handing it to me. To go back upstairs, Lizzie, bring me down a piece of pumpkin pie. Come down. I'm tired of this. So I know she was up in her room on her knees praying, God, please get him because he's going to drive me nuts. So I didn't open any of my presents. All the family was there. They upstairs, all hooting and hollering, having a good time. I was downstairs, and I actually went up there and watched them open their presents, and I didn't open mine. I waited for, I could have zoomed it. Yeah, that would have been fun. I actually, like I said, my wife made me stand in the corner like I was a bad boy, you know, and like, you know. And then I'd like take a step, and she'd kind of give me that look. You know that Laura look? Esther, you know the Laura look, don't you? Like, get back in that corner. So, anyways, during that time, had a lot of time to kind of think about the past year. And, you know, 2020 is kind of in the rearview mirror. And needless to say, I think we've all been through a lot. Amen? You know, I kind of was thinking, like, as I'm down in my basement, my heart kind of really went out to people that were alone during the holidays. Not that I was alone, because, like I said, I could yell upstairs or, you know, pop up there and grab something, but you know, people who had lost someone during the last year. Maybe you were isolated yourself. Maybe you went through sickness. Maybe you're battling with something. And, you know, it was a tough year. Let's not kid ourselves. You know, there was a lot of things that we had to go through. Amen. But the good news is that Christ is there with us. And even in the midst of what we might be going through, all this commotion, He's still there. He's still on the throne. We sang that song. He's still there. Amen. You know, His name is great. We think about what His name has done. And you know, we look through history and maybe we think, well, oh my God, this is the worst the world's ever. No, no. Listen, the world's gone through some tough times. World wars and famines. And, you know, even in the time of the early church. The early church was under the oppression of the Roman Empire. And that wasn't an easy thing if you were a Jew. And so, but they knew they had a mission. They knew they had a call to fulfill. And so as I sat at home, God kind of took me to a scripture. And this is just something He shared with me, kind of seeing 2020 in a rearview mirror and in 2021 now at us. And we're going to look at this where God took me over to Genesis. Noah. I think most of us are familiar with the story. So turn with me over to Genesis chapter 8, and we're going to read a little bit. And I'm going to draw a few points out that God really spoke to me. Maybe they can help you during this upcoming year. Maybe can impart something to you to trust God, even a greater step of faith. Okay? Genesis chapter 8, verse 1 through 16. And we'll read through this first and then go back and kind of break it down. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. And the water receded steadily from the earth. And at the end of 150 days, the water had gone down, and on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to recede until the 10th month. And on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. And after 40 days, Noah opened a window that he had made in the ark, and he sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. And then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find nowhere to perch because there was water all over the surface of the earth. And so it returned to Noah in the ark. Then he reached out his hand and he took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. And he waited seven more days and again he sent out the dove from the ark. And when the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a fleshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth and he waited seven more days and sent the dove out again. But this time it did not return to him. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. And Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. And by the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives." Now, as I was in confinement there in my basement, this passage of Scripture really spoke to me. And I could identify a little bit maybe with Noah. Here in our story, we see Noah. We know the story. Noah was commissioned to build an ark. How many of you know it took a long time to build that ark? He had put a lot of sweat equity into that ark. And I don't know if he was in a hurry to get that thing finished, but I'll tell you what, it took a long time. And then once he got that ark finished, there was the putting of the supplies in it. Then there was the gathering of the animals to bringing it in, waiting for the judgment of God to come, the promise that God would bring him and his family safely to it, but yet there was going to be a judgment upon the wicked world. And I saw myself almost as Noah. Noah, once they entered into that ark, that door was shut. God himself, it says in the scripture, shut that door. Shut them in. And for 7 days, nothing happened. There was no rain, nothing. And then all of a sudden, things begin to happen. The rain began to come down. The waters from beneath the earth begin to rise up. And you know the rest of the story. And so Noah and his family are in this ark for a year. And with our passage here today, you know, we see something very interesting. And as I was sitting in my basement, this first part of the scripture, it says, but God remembered Noah. You know, God doesn't forget. They use this type of language in the scriptures to illustrate something to us. And it was mean that God now had focused more intently on him. Anytime we read that God remembered somebody in the scripture, it meant that he was now giving them extra special attention. As we read through the scriptures, anytime you read about God remembering something, a blessing began to follow. How many of you want God to remember you today? Amen? You know, we're told about Rachel in the scripture that it says God remembered Rachel. What happened? God blessed her with children. Then God remembered the Hebrews when they were in hard service to the Egyptians. And what happened? He brought about a great deliverance. And then in the book of Acts, we're told about God remembering Cornelius, the Roman centurion, and his offerings. It came up as a memorial offering before God. And he remembered what he'd done. And what happened was God sent Peter to his house, and they all became saved, him and his entire household. The first that we know of, Gentile converts, a mighty move of God. And so we know that God remembered Noah in this situation for this year. You can imagine being this, but I know my wife and we went on a couple cruises in our day. I'll never go on another cruise in my life. You know, the first one was nice. You hit the nice water, and you know, you're out there on the deck, and the sun's shining down, and everything's nice, and didn't get seasick, nothing. Well, I think it was the third time we went, we were off the coast of Puerto Rico. And all of a sudden, a storm hit that night when we were sleeping. The storm was so bad, it literally knocked me out of the bed. I am not kidding. I rolled out. I'm like, what in the world is going on? That ship was just going back and forth. I told my wife, never again am I going on one of those ships. So you can imagine Noah being in this ark. And we don't know the construction of this thing, if it was kind of a just a rectile, if it was built more, kind of the specifications of a ship today that could cut through the water. But that ride still had to be rough. I'm sure as those waves hit it, tossed it back and forth, could you imagine being, you know, on that ship, on that ark for almost a year? My dad, when he was alive, he was in the military, and he was in the Navy, and he boarded a ship down in Houston, Texas, and took it. They had to go all the way around South America and up to San Diego, and then they were going to ship out and go over to Hawaii. And the boat he was in was one of these flat-bottom boats that delivered, like, tanks and half-tracks. And so it didn't cut through those waves. When that wave hit it, it came down, boom, boom, boom. And about a quarter of the way in, he had seasickness so bad, they almost allowed him to leave the military to change his branch of service. So those of you that have been out on a ship, maybe been out on the Great Lakes or what have you, so you can kind of identify with him a little bit, being tossed and turned. But in the midst of that, he still had responsibilities, didn't he? He still had to get up every day and take care of those animals and feed the animals, probably clean it out. You know, could you imagine, you know, the size of that ship was pretty big, almost 500 feet long. And you could imagine how much cleaning. You know, Esther, I don't know if you could even handle that cleaning crew every day, all right? I know I would have got tired of it. But, you know, as I was sitting at home, I was just thinking, hey, even though we're confined, we still have responsibilities. And maybe during 2020, you felt confined. Maybe not physically like I was down in my basement, but you were confined by who you could go see, who you could be with, maybe even come into church. There just seemed to be. I mean, you'd walk into the store, you know, and people, you know, they got sticks, you know, stay away from me, you know, kind of pride you. You know, so there was this confinement that maybe we felt emotionally. Maybe we felt it even spiritually. Maybe you felt, God, where are you at? You know, maybe Noah, when he was in that boat, might have been thinking, hey, I'm here, but God, where are you? How long do I have to stay in this situation? You know? And for many of us, we don't know how long we have to stay in this situation, do we? Some of us, it's a short stay. Some of us, it could be a long time. But I'm here to tell you, because God was speaking to me, that He remembers your name. He remembers your situation. And as He begins to refocus upon you, get ready for the blessing that's about to come. Noah didn't know what blessing was about to come, but he was trusting God even in the midst of it. And how many of you know that's a hard thing to do? Amen? But keep on hanging on. Keep on trusting God and see what happens. Next thing we're told in our story is that He sent a wind over the earth, and it began to move back the waters. And I like that. You know, not only does God remember you, but He sends a wind to begin to blow upon your situation. How many even know what that wind is? The wind is the Spirit of God. Amen? God begins to stir. You know, when we open the Bible, we come to the creation of the heavens and the earth, and we see the earth, and we see it in this void. It's void of life. It's dark, and it's covered with water. But then it says, the Spirit of God begin to move over the face of the deep. And how many of us, that's the situation we find ourselves in a lot of time. Maybe we're in that dark place. You know, God, where are you at? Where are you at? But God is moving some way, somehow. Man, there's so many stories throughout the Scriptures that we can point to, that we can look at. Jonah. I love the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul caught in that hurricane. You know, Pastor John had mentioned we're studying the book of Acts. We've got four more chapters to go. And that last two chapters, Paul's in this hurricane for 2 weeks. And the ship is almost sinking, and they're looking at killing the prisoners, and you know, the soldiers are looking to escape, and it's a bleak situation. But when they started off the journey, in chapter 27 it says, they obtained a gentle, soft south wind. You see, they thought sailing was going to be smooth. And as they set out, Paul tried to warn them and said, listen, this is deceitful. Don't fall for this. And how many times in our walk, maybe in this year, we felt things were going in a good path, it seemed good, and all of a sudden, boom, disaster strikes immediately. And then we're told in that story that the northeastern wind blew down of hurricane force, and it began to drive them across the Mediterranean Sea. But how many of you know we're told that because that's really God moving Paul to a certain destination? You see, the Apostle Paul was on his way to Rome, but God had other ideas. You may have ideas where you want to go, what you want to accomplish, but God says, wait a minute. This isn't in line where I want to take you. I'm going to get you to that destination. But I've got a couple detours that I'm going to take you to first. And what happened was, is that hurricane blew them back and forth. They came to a place and they ran that ship into a sandbar. And then they had to jump into the water and swim to the shore. And they get there and poor Paul, he gets bit by a viper. And, you know, everything's just bad. But they're on the island of Malta. They had no intention of going there. But God had an intention. And so when you are in the midst of something terrible, trust God. Yeah, trust God that He's taking you somewhere. And if you know the story, Paul's there on the island of Malta and he begins praying for the governor's father-in-law and he gets healed, and all of a sudden all the sick people on the island come and they get healed. And then we're told they spent some months there, and then when they set out, everything that they had lost had been restored back to them. Amen. You see, when the wind begins to blow, when God sent that wind to blow back the water from the flood, from the rain, there was a blessing that was accompanying that. And so God is stirring something. And so as we go into 2021 here, maybe there's that wind, maybe that soft wind is blowing, maybe it's that hard wind. God's taking you somewhere that you don't necessarily want to go. But when Paul landed on that island, 2,000 years later, the day that we have today, there's a bay there called the St. Paul's Bay. And right at the top of one of the little mountains there is a statue of the Apostle Paul because of what he did 2,000 years ago. There's still a Christianity on that island. What God planted there has not been removed. And it's been a beacon. It's been a stopping point for many missionaries going to different points of the world. You see, God had a plan. It wasn't Paul's plan, but it was his plan. Amen? So as we recognize that God remembers us, he hasn't left us in a dire strait. And when he begins to look upon us, that wind begins to blow once again. After that, we see that this wind began to blow and God had shut the doors and he stopped the instruments of destruction. 2020 is gone. It isn't coming back. Whatever happened to us in 2020, it's gone. Amen? The good, the bad. You know, I was watching one of the Rocky movies. How many are there now? About 10 of them? You know, watching it. It was Rocky Balboa. And he would go down to the cemetery because in this one, his wife Adrian had died and he had a little chair up in the tree and he'd pull it down and he'd sit there and he'd talk to Adrian even though, you know, she's in the grave. And his brother-in-law, Paulie, if you remember him, he was the drunk, he was the old crabby guy. Hey, Rock, you know. And so Rocky's talking and then Paulie says, Rocky, how long are you going to do this? You're driving me crazy. She ain't coming back. And the point that was being made was, Rock, you're living too much in the past. It's time to get a vision for where you're going. And how many of us, we want to hang on to, just like Rocky and that, but we want to hang on to that thing. Unfortunately, it's dead, it's gone. And there were good times associated with that, but we're still alive and there's still a job that God has called us to do, amen? There's still something that we need to accomplish. And so we shouldn't give up. You know, I want to read a... There was a song. How many of you know who Toby Mac is? Most of you do. He's a Christian singer, kind of a rapper. He was with, what was it, the name of that group? DC Talk, that's right. You know, years ago. We're dating ourselves, brother. I don't, you know. But he lost a son a couple of years ago. And right before he lost him, he had written a song. And I'm sure this song had a burn in his heart as he reflected back upon the loss of his son. And the name of the song is Move, Keep Walking. And I'm just going to read a little bit about this because we are called to keep moving, aren't we? We're not called to stand still or to retreat. And it says this, another heartbreak day. Have you been there? Feels like you're miles away. He's speaking to God. Like Noah, God, where you at? Don't even need no shade when your sun don't shine. Too many passing dreams rolled by like limousines. It's hard to keep believing when they pass you by and by. Amen. Isn't there a point? How you may know in that ark? Don't you think like, God, where are we going? What's going to happen? Are we going to be crushed by these waves? What are we expecting? And none of us know what's around that next corner. It says, I know your heart has been broke again. I know your prayers ain't been answered yet. I know you're feeling like you've got nothing left. Well, lift your head. It ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. And he says, move, keep walking. Soldier, keep moving on. Move, keep walking until the morning comes. Move, keep walking. Soldier, keep moving on and lift your head. It ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. And he says, hold on, hold on. The Lord ain't finished yet. Hold on, hold on. He'll get you through this. These are the promises I never will forget. I will never forget. So hold on, hold on. The Lord ain't finished yet. And so it wasn't much longer after that he lost his son. I wonder how much that song ministered to him. But you see, when God closes off that, those doors of destruction, comes a time now that we need to reflect. We need to seek God and say, God, all right, I've seen what you've done here. I don't want to go back. I want to go forward. That's a hard thing to go forward sometimes, isn't it? That's probably why I love sports so much, because you'll watch some of these athletes in boxing. You know, you'll see him, and maybe somebody's getting beat for three or four rounds. All of a sudden, they get like a second wind, and they rise up, and they end up winning the fight. And that's what we're called, not to give up. You know, it ain't coming back. It doesn't matter what we've been through. But God has called us what? To move on. I think in the early church, you know, one of the disasters that struck it real early in its birth was that Stephen was stoned to death. And if you read about Stephen, he was a young man. He was part of the deacons. But he was full of wisdom, and he was always debating with the Jews. And one day they got upset with him, and they just stoned him to death. And you think, God, why would you take somebody so young and so full of promise? And the church could at that time just retreated and mourn. And they did mourn for him. But they knew that came with the territory. How many of you know our walk with Christ comes with a cost? Amen? Didn't he tell us, pick up your cross and follow me? He told us that in this world you will have tribulation. But what? Rejoice, because I've overcome the world. Our story with Noah, you know, when the instruments of destruction, with them now being closed off, God brings rest so that a new and a firm foundation could begin to emerge. We're told with Noah that the waters begin to recede and that ark settled upon the mountains of Ararat. And that's the way it is in our life. We've been tossed to and fro, and all of a sudden God brings a relinquishing of the things that have been pounding us. And all of a sudden, there comes a time of rest. It wasn't time for them to exit that ark yet, but it was a time to sit and to wait. I mean, you know, it's a hard thing waiting upon the promises of God sometimes. Amen? I know many people, they've got a word from the Lord, and I haven't received it yet. Well, hold on, like that song says. Hold on. Go into that time of peace. Go into that time of rest. You know, we're told that that ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And I looked up the name Ararat, and it means the curse reversed. Isn't that good? You know, when God brings you through that trouble, that trial, or taking you somewhere, that curse has been lifted off of us. Amen? You know, we're told that before we came to Christ, we were under a curse. We were alienated from Christ. We were at enmity. We were His enemy. But that curse was broken with the death and with the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We took communion today. Why? We wanted to remember what He did for us. His body was broken. And His blood shed for us. So that we could have fellowship restored back to Him and the Father. That we could have eternal life. That we could have fellowship one with another. I tell you, that was the one thing that I really missed. I wasn't here last week because I was in lockdown. I was outside the camp, as Brian Wilkerson liked to say, you know. But how much I missed all of you guys. Coming in here, just seeing everyone. You know, every Sunday, it's always, Betty's usually the first one I see when I come in there. We always have our coffee, and then people begin streaming in, and John comes in for prayer, and it's just a blessing to see everybody. And when you're not given that opportunity, it makes you really appreciate it. That's why when I came in this morning, I was just like, God, it's a good way to start off the new year, seeing my brothers and my sisters. Amen? How many churches? You know, I'm driven by a lot of churches, and they have the signs out there where no further services until, and they have a question mark after. They might be online like we are, but they don't have people in there. There's something about coming together, amen, about being together. Hey, we try to encourage everybody to, you know, the social distancing and, you know, the cleaning of the hands and all that other stuff. But there's still something about being together. And I know when I was locked down in that basement and I couldn't be part of everything that was going on, it was something, especially when you're old like me. You like those, you know, those instances. Kids running around, dogs barking. Yeah, my wife could take care of all that stuff. All right. So we get to the New Testament. And in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 13, it says, by calling this covenant new, He has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. And the reason I use that scripture is because as we look at Noah, we see that he left a particular world. The world that he left was submerged. It was destroyed. He had no idea what he was about to enter into as that door was going to open in that ark approximately a year later. And as this is Christians, Paul writes here, and he's talking about this old covenant, the bondage that the people were under. But this thing passed away, and this whole new covenant, with all the blessings associated with it, had now been given to us. We are the recipients of that. And Noah, in a short few days, was going to have that door open up, and he was going to be the recipient of a whole new world. How many of you want a whole new world? We see all the stuff going on. You know, Carol's talking about the prayer and, you know, for the election and all that. And I tell you, we can get all caught up in that. That's important stuff. But as we sang those songs about, you know, Jesus being king, he reigns. He sits, doesn't he, at the right hand of the Father. I like to say this. There's not an atom in the entire universe that he don't know its exact location right now. The scripture tells us that he knows the names of every star. You ever look out there at the stars? You know, we only see maybe 8,000 to 10,000 stars. They say there's probably more stars in the heavens than there are grains of sand on the beaches of the world. It just boggles my mind. Just boggles my mind. And as they're getting ready to launch this new satellite, you know, that's, I forget what the name of it is, but it's going to, you know, take pictures. And we have the Hubble telescope out there, and it takes these incredible pictures. And this one is going to put that one to shame. You know, they said this new telescope that if you were in California and somebody lit a match and held it in their hand in New York, you could see it with this telescope. That's how incredible the technology is. Wait till we see the pictures that come in. You know, they show these galaxies with billions of stars each. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. But that's the God that we serve, amen? That's the God that we serve. And so the waters begin to recede. In 2021, we'll bring forth new opportunities and challenges. It's not going to be easy sometimes, but they will be rewarding. They'll be of eternal consequences. Amen? You may meet somebody, you know, that's what Pastor John, I love what he read last week, that guy that was here in 1999. Ed Trout was here, and the guy was expecting to get a word. Ed Trout didn't give him a word, and then after the thing was done, Ed Trout looked at him and said, well, you know, I got a word for you, I'm not done with you, and gave him a word. Completely changed that guy's life. You don't know what a simple word will do for somebody. You don't know what meeting with somebody will do to their life. Taking just a little bit of time, how it can change the direction of not only their life, but the course of the world. Amen? And I think we've all experienced that. I don't know about you, but I want more and more of that, you know, to impact and see the kingdom continually to expand. Two more things. After 40 days, a divine ordained window is opened. Here you have Noah, and God remembers him. And then he sends the wind, and then the mountains begin to appear, and that ark comes to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And then it says that Noah opened a window. And I like that. I said, God, you know, I want more windows to be opened. Tired of being battered around. I want some fresh air. I want to breathe something new. I want a new vision. And I'm sure when Noah opened that window for the first time, you know, could you imagine being locked up somewhere for almost a year, not being able to see outside? At least in my basement, you know, every day I'd pull up a chair by the basement window and climb up there and look out there and, okay. It's raining, it's snowing, there's a dog running around. I'll have to tell Mark to get out there and shovel the driveway and do his thing. But I'd look out there and just look at the neighbors and, you know, look at the yard next to me. But imagine just looking and, you know, being in a room for that long. And when he opened that, the vibrant colors. I've shared this before. I had to go in for an MRI about a year ago. How many have been in for an MRI? Okay, those are fun, aren't they? It's like they're putting you in a crypt, you know, out at the cemetery. I'm still alive. Don't put me in this thing, you know. And they wheel you in this thing, and you're laying there, and all of a sudden, you know, you got the headphones on, you know, and the things. And it is the weirdest feeling. And if you're claustrophobic, I tell you what, you don't want to go inside one of those things. I was in there for about 45 minutes. I know Donna Madrano's told me she's been in those things 2 or 3 hours. But when they got me out of it, the thing that I noticed, first of all, I was happy they got me out. I'm thinking, all right, what if the electricity goes out? How am I going to get out of this thing? You know, I've got to kind of slide out. You know, I could see my feet, and they have an opening now. But I remember driving home and just looking at the colors, and they were just so much more vibrant. looking at the sky, the blue, the grass, the green, and I was like, God, thank you, I can see this. Because all I could see in there, it reminded me of when I was a kid. I remember, maybe some of you remember, you know, now I'm dating myself again. Remember the old Tiger Stadium? You know, when I was a kid, we used to grab a bus and go down there on Michigan Avenue. You could grab a bus for like 15 cents or something and go down to a Tiger game, get in for 50 cents. But I remember walking through that gate, and as you walked up there and you saw that field for the first time, oh my God, I thought I would die and went to heaven. The green was the greenest green you ever saw, those chalk lines. That dirt was beautiful. You know, the orange out in the seating, the smells, everything just overwhelmed you. And I could imagine no one when he opened that door and he had that new vision. How many of you are ready for a new vision? How many are ready for God for us to say, God, here I am, use me. Give me a new vision for 2021. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know what it's going to cost, but Lord, I want to be used. I want to see things a whole lot different. God opens that window. Noah, let us look, ask, and pray for that open window. Amen. And then finally, they spend all this time. He sends out the raven. He sends out the dove. But I like how it concludes. He's told to come out. God shut him in, and now the door is open. And he wasn't going to leave that ark until God gave him the command. How many of you want to hear the voice of God even more this year? How many of you want to hear him say, it's time for you to come out? You've been sitting in the bleachers too long. You've been sitting on the sidelines too long. It's time to get involved in what the kingdom is doing. You know, Pastor John mentioned Carol Lakos, and poor Carol, I don't know how many times she was in the hospital this year. I told her, I go, Carol, I'm getting tired of coming out here. I feel like I'm in the hospital with you all the time. You're out in U of M, you're out in Royal Oak, you're over here, you're over there, you know. And, you know, poor Carol, she's going through, you know, this whole thing. And she was in a rehab center up in Ann Arbor. And Carol calls me when she's all excited. Pastor Dunn, you're not going to believe what I did. I'm thinking, oh, you know, who knows, you know. What'd you do, Carol? She says, I got to pray with my nurse today. See, Carol had never done that before. She had never spoken up and even shared her faith, but she was laying there, and this one nurse kept coming in there. She became friends with her. And she goes, Pastor Don, I'm so excited. I want you to meet her when you come up here to visit me. And every time I talked to her, I said, did you pray with her? Oh, yeah, Pastor Don, I prayed with her. And that was something she never did. You see, God spoke to her and said, Carol, I want you to come out. I want you to come out and begin doing something. Yeah, you're confined in this nursing home, but it's time to come out. So I went up there. I think Brian Wilkerson was with me and Kevin Mott. We went up to visit her, and we met this lady. And boy, she was excited. She was telling us that Carol prayed for her every day and told her about her church. And, you know, we don't know where that seed is going to go. And for Carol, see, for a lot of us, that, you know, for somebody like me, that may not have been a big thing. I talk with everybody. But for Carol, that was a big thing. It was stepping outside that ark, coming out. And when Noah came outside that ark, could you imagine the world that he saw? It wasn't the world that he had left. And when you begin to cry out to God, God use you in a new way, you're going to see a whole new world. You're going to see people differently. You're going to see situations differently. You're going to see what God can do through you totally different. And so as I was sitting down in my basement, and that's why I said, I love that story, because I said, you know what, God, I want you to remember me. I want you to focus. I want you to send your spirit in a new way upon me. I want you to bring peace and rest. I want you to open a new window of vision. I want that door to be open. I want you to tell me to come forth and to go into new areas. I say this all the time. I don't want to, you know, kind of limp into the kingdom when I pass away. I want to go in there saying, God, even in the last stages of my life, I was giving it all that I had. You know? What was that old country song? You know, I'm good once as I ever was, you know, I don't remember how it was, but it was, you know, I'm good once as I ever was. You know, he's about him fighting in a bar or something. I want to be like that. I don't want to go in there and just say, well, I threw a couple haymakers and land a couple. No, I want to go out bringing glory to God. My life being nothing. God, here I am, use me. You know, it says in Romans 21:5, the old has passed away. Behold, I make all things new. You want to be made new today? You want to put it out there? Maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you're watching there by your phone, by your computer, and you don't know Christ. And I'm here to tell you that today can be the start of that day, a whole new opportunity to have God open that door and call you out. It could be the day that God recognizes that you know that He's been dealing with your heart and He's been calling you, but you've been refusing to answer. Maybe you walked away from Him years ago and you sensed the call of God to come back and renew that relationship, because maybe during this past year you found out what was truly important and what was needful in your life. Or maybe you've been walking with Christ and you just haven't been satisfied. You say, God, I want new challenges. I want a new anointing. I want a new vision. Let that be our prayer no matter where you're at. I want to conclude with Jeremiah 1:10. And God spoke to Jeremiah and He said this, "See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, so that I can build and plant." Are you ready to see God uproot and overthrow and tear down so that He can build and that He can plant? Amen. If I could have the prayer team come forward here. If you need prayer, they'll be up here today. I want everybody, let's stand. We're going to conclude in prayer here. Father, we give You thanks. We thank You for a new opportunity that You have granted each one of us another day of life. And Lord, as we meditate upon this story of Noah, Lord, I pray that we are faithful like he was, that he was trusting no matter what came against him. And Lord, that when that door opens, that we hear Your voice say, come out. And Lord, I pray that we would come out, that we would answer that call today no matter where we're at. I pray for Your people, Lord, that we would go forth today, Lord, with renewed vision, with renewed strength, with a renewed excitement. And Lord, regardless of the obstacles that we may encounter, Lord, that we would see Your hand, that we would see the name of Jesus being glorified and magnified and exalted throughout this entire world. Father, we give You thanks, we give You praise, and we give You glory for last year. But Lord, we look with great expectations this year. Lord, move upon us and use us to further Your kingdom, we ask. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. We have coffee upstairs. Please stick around, fellowship a little bit. Brian and his lovely wife are up here. If you need prayer, please come up here. Call someone during the week. Reach out. Let them know you're thinking about them. Please join for prayer with Carol and the ladies. God bless you. Don't even need no shade when your sun don't shine, shine. Too many passing dreams roll by like limousines. It's hard to keep believing when it pass you by and by. Can't.
finished yet. Hold on, hold on, he'll get you through this. Hold on, hold on, these are the promises I never will forget. I never will forget. So hold on, hold on, the Lord ain't finished yet. Hold on, hold on, he'll get you through this. Hold on, hold on, these are the promises I never will forget. I never will forget. I know your heart been broke again. I know your prayers ain't been answered yet. But it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. So get up and move. Keep walking. So keep moving.
Yeah.